Jesus here, as we're getting right into John chapter 10, but I have to back up a little bit here. I have to go what we had read last week to give you a foretaste of that to come. So, because, you know, we have chapters, chapter 9, chapter 10, and people think that's a break, but no, Jesus is continuing what happened with this blind man, and because it's important. But the narrative, we already went through that last week, but I'm just going to reread verses 35 through 41. It says, Jesus heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." And then some of the Pharisees who were with him and heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains. The reminder here is, you know, for those people who say they can see in life and they're totally blind, as Christ said, "The blind leadeth the blind." Well, what happens is you have people today that are spiritually blind. Not in the physical sense, but, you know, remember Christ had preached about this more than anything else during these chapters we've been reading. It's about the spiritual, not the physical. People are so caught up in the physical today. But that poor man who has been blind since birth, he was actually able to see again. And now Jesus gets into an allegory, which is a picture, an idea of what he's trying to teach to. And you have people there who are filled with the Spirit, understand what he is talking about. Today we are filled with the Spirit because we understand God's Word. We're prepared for this. So we're looking at here how Jesus is the good shepherd or the true shepherd. Why did Jesus use this allegory? Because a lot of people are in the business with sheep back in the day. And Jesus was there, and he decided to use this as an example. And there used to be a gate in Jerusalem called the Sheep Gate, okay? And a lot of expositors believe he used that as an example. It's called the Lion's Gate. It used to be years ago, they used to sell a lot of sheep through there. And just to give you an idea about sheep, they would be used as pets. People would take them home for their pets. And so, but sheep in themselves are very much, they could get themselves in a lot of trouble. They're defenseless. They frighten easy. They are their worst enemy. In other words, if there was a sick sheep there, they would eat the grass around the sick sheep and starve the sick sheep. They have the tendency to wander off and they don't listen. And, you know, the Lord uses us as sheep, and somebody says to me, "Well, you know, that's kind of mean, don't you think?" You know, we look at sheep. And, but I like what David said. David said this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," in Psalms 23. I love that because David was a shepherd. And we had other shepherds as well. We had Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So, you know, when David boasted into that, "The Lord is my shepherd," don't ever look at it as being one of God's sheep as a bad thing. But because of sin, "Lord, I'm prone to wander. Lord, help me." You know, that song, "Help me. I wander off. And I frighten easy." It's interesting in Psalms 23, it says there to the Lord makes a statement here in verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." People think, well, that's just about having a sheep to drink still waters. But sheep are actually afraid of running water. It scares them. And so we are just like that in a sense. We're frightened easy by things sometimes that seem to be just too much for us. And sometimes we scare away. We become fearful. But the Lord wants us to trust in Him. And that's the beginning of wisdom, is trusting the Lord. So let's get into this, what Jesus has to say. Now, after all this has been said, the blind man came to know the Lord after everybody pretty much ignored him, walked away from him. You know, said, well, you're on your own. And today we are on our own, aren't we? Today, this Labor Day weekend, I looked at myself and I'm like, okay, Lord, it's just you and me. And sometimes that's the best thing to be. You know, we're alone with God, and God's saying, okay, I want to speak with you. I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you today with the Lord's laid on my heart. So we see here in verses 1 through 10, we see the contrast to a false shepherd. Jesus goes on to say, and he's primarily talking to the false leaders, the false teachers. We have them today in our seminaries. We've got false people out there who pretend they are of Christ, but they're not. We have a lot of big churches, not knocking big churches, because of one I come from, it's got over 1,500 people. But it's sad to say that you have people there that aren't saved. They think they are saved because they felt like they were saved. They're not going by faith and believing what happened, and they're moving on. They, after a while, they fall along the wayside. They stop coming to church. They stop doing a lot of things. They go right back into the world. And so Jesus even warned about that in the time of apostasy since the beginning of the church. So the Lord says, most assuredly, he says, truly, truly, it means pay attention. Whenever the Lord says truly, truly, most assuredly, pay attention to this. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, remember, Jesus is the door, not a door. There are many doors and many ways that seem to be right unto man, but in the ways lead to death. There are a lot of churches today, a lot of things that look right, a lot of things in the world today look right, but they're not. They're false. But he climbs up some other way, the same as a thief. The idea of a thief has the idea of stealing something. Okay, so this thief, this false shepherd, comes in to steal something. Number two, and then you have the thief, and you have the robber. The robber usually takes something by force or by violence. Okay, so you know, you think of a robber with a handgun. You think the thief is somebody coming into the store just stealing some candy or something like that. But either which way, these people are all kinds of wrong. And so you had that in the religious system back in the day. You have that today. You have that in the political system. You have it everywhere. You even have it in schools where you have the administration. You got people who steal things, money and all. So they're everywhere in society. And so moving on here, it says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, remember, Jesus calls himself the door. He is the door. Now, what was the door or the gate in some translations? The shepherd would lay down at the door of the sheepfold, okay, which was a circle, or however you want to look at it in math, how it was placed out there. And so you had a sheepfold was sometimes made of sticks, other times it was made of stones. Other times they would take sheep into the downtown village and have them there. Or they would have them out in the country, okay, depending. And the shepherd, he would go ahead, and we'll look at here in a minute, we would have a porter or doorkeeper. But remember, Jesus is explaining to himself, I am the door. In other words, a shepherd would come and he would lay down at the door. There is not no two shepherds that work the same way. They may have different ways of doing it. So Jesus is saying, look, I am the door. And he says here, but he who enters the door by the shepherd of the sheep, to him to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. Now it's interesting that the sheep will listen to the shepherd by the voice. There is a true story that happened years ago in Australia where you had one man who came up to this shepherd one day and he says, you know, those are my sheep. And he had some false documentation. Well, they went to court over it. And the judge was like, you know, everything looks here in order. I don't understand it. And then the lawyer came up to the judge. He says, wait a minute. I want to take some time to talk to the judge. He came up and both attorneys were there. And he says, look, he goes, I know that's a false piece of paper. And the judge was like, come on, get to the point because we're running out of time here. He says, I can prove it because they'll listen to my voice. So the judge was like, oh, okay. Let's do it this way. This guy was saying, look, I have paperwork. The other guy was saying, I got paperwork. So the judge told the guy who was lying, he says, well, you call to the sheep. So they went outside, and so the guy calls out, and the sheep squirmer back. They just move back, and they get real scared of this one shepherd, this false shepherd. And then, of course, you have the real shepherd calls them and they come right to him. And this is the same way it is, my beloved, with God's word. We know who it is. For me as a pastor, I'm an under shepherd, and we all follow the shepherd. My job is to guide you to the shepherd, the true shepherd. And thank God, because there's, you know, out of universities and seminaries nowadays, do you realize in the first 5 years, 80% of guys that graduate from seminary or pastor's college, whatever you want to call it, they quit. It's too hard on them. You better believe it's hard. It's not easy. It's not like a normal job. It's different. You got a lot of other responsibilities. And, you know, so in my home church, for example, there's only me, the pastor, 1,500, and one other guy out of about 20 people that originally all went together into college and seminary, and they quit and says, it's too much. I can't handle it. You know, I can't handle it. It's too hard. But God, I believe God, has called certain, I know some people God has called as pastors and they're no longer in the ministry. It breaks my heart, but you know, I pray for them, but I don't judge them. But I'm like, man, you don't realize, you know, God can always use you, but, pray for them. You know, and that is why the other reason is why you have people that are in the pulpit shouldn't be in the pulpit today. You have women as pastors. Back in the 60s and 70s, you had a lot of seminaries that, you know, guys just wouldn't want to take the position anymore. I've talked to different, all kinds of denominations. They have told me the same thing, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, or whatever. They're saying, you know, we just don't, where are the men at, you know? And I tell women that are pastors, you know, I've only said this to a few, not many, but because, you know, I'm not going to bring it up. That's very rude. But, you know, they said, what do you think? I'm a pastor. And I look at them and said, I'm sorry, I don't think so. Oh, boy, I didn't go over too well. But you know what? I have to be honest. But I don't do that being rude to them. You know, I'm out of all respect. And I try to, you know, befriend, get along with people. But, you know, very clearly that God has called men to be pastors, not women. So, and then the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Literally, they do. Shepherds do call them by name. Jesus calls us by name. He knew who the blind man was. Isn't that amazing? And they understood him. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. But they know his voice. Of course, you do have some shepherds that in different parts of the world that let the sheep go with the sheep dogs, and they follow behind. I believe, and there are some shepherds that the sheep follow the shepherd. And I'm of the teaching of the old school. They should follow the shepherd as the shepherd is, as spiritually speaking, following the Lord Jesus Christ, because we all are following in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives. And we're trying to be good examples to show. And for they know his voice, and they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voices of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke of. It's interesting. Jesus used parables. He used all kinds of ways of speaking to his own. They knew him because they didn't understand him. Their hearts were far from what they knew. And so you have here, again, it was the religious leaders of the day. And verse 7 goes on to say, Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Again, he is not a door, but he is the door. And so what a shepherd would do at night when the sheep would come into his fold, into his place to stay, he would take his rod and he would inspect the sheep as they came in, because he wanted to make sure if they're okay, if they're sick, or if there's something wrong with them. And so we have a loving God, a loving Savior who cares about us when even when we're sick and we're down and out, or we're discouraged, or we're upset, whatever it is, because God knows about everything that goes on in our mind all the time. And God is always there for us, and he understands that we are just flesh, and he loves us. And that's why he died for us, because he understands our frailty, just like sheep. And it's interesting that over 300 predictions were filled by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is something to be excited about. We have a shepherd that cares for his sheep today. And there are some sheep today that have gone astray. God is calling them. And there's all heaven rejoices over one, what, that repents and comes back to God's fold, because God knew before the foundation of time who would be saved and who wouldn't be. But we have our free will to come as we are. When God spoke to that blind man, okay, that blind man, he responded because he looked for the way, truth, and life. Verse 8 says, "And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anybody enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You know, people today need to realize, like it says, we don't have time in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, 8 through 10. You have godliness with contentment is great gain. And, you know, I'm so thankful for his word, because God spoke to me this week in that way. Because I was thinking of all the things that have gone on in my life and people's life. You know, people would be a lot more at ease if they would just realize to be content in their lives. And by the way, that's what I'm going to be speaking about in Evan's home across the street this week. Because there is just too much of "I don't have enough." There's too much of the covetousness out there. And as sheep need to realize that they need to just lay down in green pastures. And it also says in Psalms 23, it says, "I will make a table." The idea is not in Psalms 23, is the table is not a regular wooden table with four legs. My seminary professor years ago, he went out to the Holy Land. He told me about this. He says, what the shepherd does, he lays down his crook and his rod on one side or the other, and the sheep is sick, so to speak, and not feeling good. Just like it was maybe this week, we weren't feeling good. Or we were going through a deep, deep spiritual battle, very deep. And, you know, we were crying out to God. Well, in the allegory here, has the idea the shepherd would lay down on one side of the sheep. He would take his cloak off, put it on the other side of the sheep, and he put his rod and staff on one side and one on the other, and that would form a table. And so that sheep who was sick, he would be there for that sheep because he loved his sheep. sometimes like some of us like our own pets at home, you know. Take them to the vet. We spend a lot of money on them, but we still love them anyway. They might be falling apart, but we still love them anyway. There's nothing like our pets. They're good memories. So sheep are like that. And we want God, you know, God has good things for us, good thoughts about us. Like it says in Jeremiah, I have good thoughts about you. I have wonderful things to think about you, for you to do, in Jeremiah 29. So God has said this, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. It's interesting because he did that. Jesus did that. He came and he died on the cross for our sins. And we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper today. And we have to realize that God gave his very, very, very best. Think about the God. We're talking about God in Hebrews today. And, you know, one person says, you know, God, you know, if I ever thought of a God, the makeup of God, God is the best thing that we have today. Amen. And he's far better than anything we could ever ask or think. Jesus is. He is the very best of the best. Says, but on the other hand, but a hireling, it's a porter or a doorkeeper, it's just somebody they just hire to come in when the shepherd's not there, who is not the shepherd, one does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. So in other words, the response here is about somebody who just comes into a fold, doesn't care about anything. Number one, he's not responsible. I have seen people who are very irresponsible in life, and like, you know, they can't hold a job. They can't do that. Number two, they're a coward. They don't have the guts to say what's on their mind. They don't have the guts to go out and do something about it. They don't have the fortitude to stand up. Especially if you think about wolves, they're predators. And you have other predators in this lifetime that we have to be careful about. And then also there's no concern. They say, whatever. You hear people say, whatever. All they care about is themselves. And so they're just like going to, and things get tough, you know, tough get going. Some of the ones that call themselves tough, they just go running down the street. Others that are tough stay in there. And they go through the grind, and they go through the work, and they go through it week after week after week. They never give up because what? They have the strength of the shepherd in them. But then you have some people who, like in the ministry, you have people call it a career. I call it a calling. My pastor called it a calling years ago. He says, don't ever forget that. You're not here for a dollar. You're here because the Lord's called you. And that was my very first question that they asked me before I went into seminary. They said, why are you here? I said, because God's called me. They just like looked at me like, what? It's like, I know God's called me. Let's get on. Come on, teach me something. And they had some people were there because of, they even wrote this down in their application. Oh, I'm here because I want to get paid so much money. These people didn't last. They were gone before you know. Either they couldn't even pay their bill at seminary, or once they got in the ministry, they gave up because there was nothing in it for them. Kind of a selfish way to look at it. You know, I'm here for you all. I don't know what you're here for me. I don't know if you're here for me or not. Just kidding. But, you know, you're here because you love the Lord. You love the Lord. And, you know, so let me go on here. So the way it is, the Lord Jesus is the door, not a door. So the hireling flees. Jesus goes on to say that I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, for them also I must bring and they will hear my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know, you have one shepherd, but you have many flocks, okay? And you have different churches around. But, you know, what we have learned over the years, we have probably heard of Matthew 7 and verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come into sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. That is why I've always been a fruit inspector. I've always been somebody who says, okay, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be a good listener. And I'm going to be silent. And I'm going to listen to what they have to say or do. Even Paul had this, who got around to this as well in Acts chapter 20, verse 29. It says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Paul, I was thinking about this morning. Paul had more issues with other pastors and other religious leaders, just like Jesus. And my pastor did too. He says, it's not the politicians. He goes, watch the TV. And I remember in Annapolis, in Baltimore, Maryland, who was up there fighting against for gay rights being taught in Christian schools back in the early 80s? There were pastors up there saying, oh yes, we want this gay agenda. Those are the kind of wolves that it was talking about. And they're ones that are very fleshly, and they're very mean, and they're very ungodly, just like what my pastor told me, just like in Jesus' time. They come across, they look all good on the outside, but no, no, no. Remember, God looks at the heart. So Jesus is saying they will hear my voice, and they will come to me. We have been to many different churches, Kimberly and I have been over to our lifetime, and I'm sure you have too. And you can listen and just listen and listen to what the preacher has to say, look at their doctrinal statement, know about them, and you understand that. You can go to a job where you're at right now, and you can learn everything about watching your boss in action, watching your workers in action, even your families. You can watch them in action. You know, there's so many parallels here. You can know who is right and who is wrong, distinguishing by the Spirit of God. So Jesus is saying here that they hear my voice, therefore I am the one shepherd, and they are my flock. In verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself, and I have power to lay it down, that I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. Jesus says in verses 15 through 18, four times I lay my life down. He's referring to his death. He will die in the next few months. This is happening very quickly. Next chapter, we're going to be looking at Lazarus. They raised Lazarus from the dead. And quickly, not too far down the road, what? You'll have Jesus coming in on a donkey. Very quickly, John goes through this. But, brethren, if you believe these things by faith, your salvation is real. You believe it, okay? And that's why John's writing this, because there are very few people. We talked about this again in Hebrews. The disciples listened to Jesus, and there were other disciples, okay? But there was a very large amount of people, very large, that did not follow Christ during this time. And they said, oh, we're of God. Look what it says right here in verse 19 and 20. Therefore was the divisions amongst the Jews. There they go again. They did the same thing with the poor blind guy. They say, you know, we don't get it. We don't understand this. Okay, because it wasn't lining up to what they wanted to. Because these saints, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? In other words, you know, he's got a demon. All right, let's go. Others said, no, wait. These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This has got to be of God. The other section was saying, no, he's not of God. Isn't that true, beloved? Today we meet people from all walks of life. And if people tell me, you know, I'm saved, when I evangelize, I got to believe them. But sometimes I turn around, I'm just like, I just It's hard to believe it. You know, I'm sorry. I don't want to judge people, but you know, sometimes people just tell me things and okay, or the church that they go to, how can you stay in that church for, you know, the doctrine and everything's all weird. But I have to take their word for it. I don't judge people. God judges them. And that's why God wants me to love people. That's why if people mock me or make fun of me, and they have around here sometimes, it's like, you know, so what? You know, they mock the Lord too. You're with me anyway, Lord. That's good enough for me. So it assures me. It gives me blessed assurance. So you have this situation going on, and they don't get it about Christ's death. They don't understand him totally. And if I put myself in the disciples' shoes, I don't think I'd understand Jesus 100% either, because he was talking about things way down the road that I don't get. And he's still today, some things in my life I still don't get. I'm like, I don't understand. Maybe you're there too with me today. Like, I don't get it, Lord, but I know one thing. You love me, and that's good enough because, I like being loved. I love to love my dog. I love to be loved by my wife. I love to be loved by my family, by my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that, okay? That's the one thing I know, that God loves me, and that makes it all worthwhile. Even when you're by yourself and you're thinking, oh, I can't feel it, like the world says, I can't feel it. But you know, God loves you. And that's good enough for us.